Brady Henderson's in Detroit. We got Monday Night Football tonight.
Shut up about Dikembe. We can get to Brady who's in Detroit, man.
Stop talking over there, man. Happens from time to time. We get sidetracked. By the way, the third in our big three, I forgot, Maggie Smith passed away. Was that Thursday?
That was Thursday or Friday. Yeah, that's quite the Maggie Smith, Chris Christopherson, and Dikembe Mutombo.
That's a big three right there.
A lot of defense. Yeah.
Internationally known. Yep. A lot of respect in different industries and communities for all three of them. So there you go. There's your big three. Very sad news. Seattle plays tonight. We are awaiting the result of tonight's game for a show-winning record on Spraying the Line.
We'll see what happens.
We got a couple of 2-1s already in the books, and you got the Seahawks tonight on Monday Night Football.
I do, +3.5.
+3.5. Yeah. Joining us now is our good friend, Brady Henderson, covering the Seahawks for ESPN on Twitter, @BradyHenderson. Brady, good morning to you. Where does Detroit rank in terms of cities you get to go visit and go to?
Well, it's not my favorite. Yeah, I'll be honest. the downtown Detroit area is cool. There's Greektown is a fun part of town. If you like to play blackjack like I do every now and again, there's a casino right downtown, so they've got some cool restaurants down there. So I'm actually not staying in Detroit. I'm staying out in some suburb of Detroit that's a lot further away from the city than I realized. So last night I went to Yard House with my buddy on the beat, Bob Condota, who covers the team from Seattle Times, and that was about it. Not a whole lot to do out in the burbs.
Now, we got to make sure we ask for security purposes. You're not staying at Dan Campbell's new house, right?
Oh,
you didn't dox Dan Campbell and show up to his house, right?
I did not. That was disappointing hearing that. Like, the guy who was made Detroit a winner for the first time in a long time, that he would have to move his family because he was getting some grief from fans after losses. That was pretty weird.
It's ridiculous. It's the ugly part of sports. Speaking of coaches that are in the good graces of fans, Mike McDonald is in the good graces right now. The Seahawks undefeated. Big game for them. They've seemingly always played really wild and fun games against the Lions the last few years, so I'm anxious to see how this goes tonight. You wrote a great piece on McDonald for ESPN.com last week, and I had some takeaways. From somebody who's writing its perspective, you know that it's the same in some ways, the style, what the coach values with what Pete Carroll hadn't valued. But what stuck out to you of being the most different or eye-opening, seeing what he was changing or forming out of from Pete Carroll?
Yeah, it's really the leadership style. And you get kind of some sense of that just from hearing McDonald and how he comes off in press conferences. And he's compared to Carroll, he's, a man of few words, and he's just very direct. And that really plays out in his leadership style as well. And as we all know, Pete Carroll, he would kind of give his players a lot of rope, and he believed that the way to get the most out of his players was to empower them and to let them be themselves. And he would let them kind of go, up to a point, and then he would, kind of rein them in up to that point. And, that worked. I think it obviously worked well enough for him to be the best coach in franchise history. And a lot of players that really thrived in Seattle might not have thrived elsewhere because they would have been, I think, a lot more restricted in how they could behave and how they could express themselves. And, it worked very well in Seattle, but there was an obvious downside to that. And, the Seahawks people that I talked to, and I think everybody in the building, has so much respect for Pete Carroll that, they weren't really saying this out loud, but the subtext, I think, in a lot of their comments and what I really picked up on is the Seahawks felt like they wanted, or at least this was very appealing to them as they were interviewing candidates, somebody with a different leadership style and somebody who would run a tighter ship. And that's exactly what McDonald does. And I've seen him do things and say things at practice to players that I had never in 14 years heard Pete Carroll say. When I say that, I don't want people to picture like the barracks scene from Full Metal Jacket where he's not going full drill sergeant on anybody, but he's getting on players and he's coaching them hard. And he's coming down on them when he needs to. And I really think that, a lot of those guys that do that, that's the approach they more so take with younger players. And I think as guys get older and more established in the league, those conversations are different. So I don't think he is, calling DK Metcalf into his office and swearing at him and yelling at him. But he's doing that with younger players, and he's really trying to send a message that, hey, there's a standard that they're going to have to uphold in Seattle if they're going to want to stick around. And so I think he's demanding of everybody, but some of those really hard conversations, And those are more so happening with younger players. And that was, you'll probably notice that if you read the story, that the two kind of incidents that I heard about, the one that I witnessed and then the other one that I heard about, you know, those were young players where he was really, you know, I would say he was coaching them hard. And it's just a very different style of communication and of leadership than what these players are used to from Pete Carroll.
Interesting. We're talking with Brady Henderson, covers the Seahawks for ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at Brady Henderson, and they are in Detroit in Monday Night Football tonight, a game that will be a standalone game because nobody wants to watch Titans and Dolphins, in a game you can hear right here on The Fan later on this evening. Are you surprised at how well Geno Smith is playing this year?
Not really, no. I mean, he's, I think in the one sense is, that I am somewhat surprised is, you know, he's really overcoming a bad offensive line. And that was a challenge for him the last year. And I think there's people in the building, or at least people who were with the team last year, who would tell you that a big reason for Geno's struggles last year were the fact that, you know, he was handcuffed behind a pretty bad offensive line. And so this is sort of what Geno is. I mean, he's going to be pretty good, like really good in some moments. He's going to be pretty good in a lot of moments. And there's going to be some of those mistakes that you just got to live with because he's not Patrick Mahomes. I think he's better than a lot of people give him credit for. But, you know, I don't know that he's one of those elite guys who's going to carry your team when there's a lot going on around you. He's going to need some help. And, you know, he's gotten, I think, barely enough help, you know, with some struggles in the run game, with Ken Walker being gone, with obviously an offensive line that was already very deficient in you know, just with the personnel, and that they've taken even more of a hit with some injuries there. And so I think Geno is, you know, easily a top half quarterback in the NFL, an above average starter, you know, from 1 to 32. But, you know, if you're not Patrick Mahomes and you're not Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, maybe Joe Burrow, like you're going to have a hard time overcoming some difficult challenges around you, like the offensive line. And I think he's done as well as you could reasonably expect him to do in that regard.
And kind of a two-parter for you on two players. What changes for them? Kenneth Walker is coming back. At least Mike McDonald made it seem that way a couple of days ago. So Kenneth Walker back in the backfield for Seattle. And Jaxon Smith-Njigba, a lot of hype coming out of the draft last year, and maybe didn't live up to what some people thought he would be year one, but what have you made of his second season and what he has become for Seattle's offense?
Yeah, well, it's kind of been a game-by-game, you know, proposition with him. Like, in the opener, didn't do a whole lot, and then I think the game plan in New England really favored him a lot more because, you know, that's when they were playing a full game for the first time without George Fant, who went down in the opener. So I think the ball had to come out a lot quicker. And it was really a lot of underneath stuff. And I think that's why, a big reason why he had the most productive game of his career. So I don't think his 2000, you know, his rookie season was all that disappointing or surprising. That's sort of what I figured it would look like. I figured it would look kind of a lot like Tyler Lockett's rookie season in 2015, just because he was like Smith-Njigba was last year. He's got the third guy in a good receiver core. And I think, you know, this receiver core is better than it was, you know, 9 years ago. And so when you're that third guy and you're a rookie, it's going to be hard to come in and you know, get 1,000 yards and 8 or 9 touchdowns. So I thought his production last season was good, but I think you're going to see him take a step this year. And you certainly saw the potential in that game against New England a couple weeks ago when he had over 100 yards, what, 10 catches, something like that. You know, he's not just a short area, move the chain slot guy. I think you've seen him late last year, he really showed them that he can be an outside guy, and he's not a burner, but he can get open. Remember that Monday night game against Philadelphia that Drew Locke started? I mean, he won that game for them with a go route from the, you know, from outside the numbers. And so that's, I think, an area where you could see him make more of an impact. But he's a guy who can do a lot of good things as a receiver, but he's not just that short area move the chain slot guy.
Yeah, great stuff. Brady Henderson covering the Seahawks for ESPN. He's one of our favorites. Monday Night Football tonight. They are in Detroit. Go give him a follow on Twitter at Brady Henderson. You can hear the game right here on The Fan. Enjoy the suburbs as much as you can. Enjoy the game. He seemed to be wonky. Good back and forth games, and Seattle's got a nice streak going against the Lions, and hopefully we can do this again soon. Thanks, man.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me.